Welcome to the daily VFN radio program highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Isn't it just all around the world, you know, we're able to encourage God's servants. We're able to give perspective of what's taking place. And I know that you were able to hear, you know, in the first hour today about what's happening. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is. And, you know, I was just seeing some of that this morning on the news, and knowing the God's perspective behind what's going on is amazing, because it just really gives you a whole view of what we as Christians are supposed to be doing.
Right. When you think about, original intent, we talk about original intent all the time, original intent of America and the original intent of the church. And we got to get back to the original intent, because that's what we were talking about in the first hour, that the Pharisees and God's people left his original intent. They left his commands and went to their own traditions and left it behind. So we got to find out, you know, what's the original intent. You know, Josiah, when he went into the temple and they had, you know, were cleaning out the temple, he found God's original intent. He found the word.
Yeah. And, you know, what I find is, like iabide.org, mm-hmm. if you're not abiding, you don't know what the original intent is.
Right.
You don't know what you're supposed to be doing as a Christian. And right. So if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, mankind seems, they come up with their own idea of what they should be doing. And that's sad.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
And if you don't have the light of God's word and the perspective of his word, I mean, you could buy into their argument.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
There's nothing worse than there's something worse than a lie. It's a religious lie.
Yeah, and that's the worst kind of lie, because it can almost sound right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and the religious lie says you're right, but you're wrong.
Yeah.
But you feel you're right because it's the religious lie.
Oh yeah.
You know,
and that's what's so scary. If you don't know the word of God, mm-hmm. if you don't know the Lord, if you don't know the Lord of the book, mm-hmm. then you're going to be so deceived in these last days.
Right.
And it's so important that you know that you know that you know whose you are, mm-hmm. because if you don't, then you're going to be swayed by every little thing that comes along.
And there's a lot of things to sway, isn't there?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So what would you say to somebody out there that, you know, they've been struggling and they've been, you know, trying to walk a Christian walk, but they haven't yet discovered, you know, about how to abide with God? I mean, tell them, you talk to them right now, encourage them from your own personal experience, you know, they're you out there, and they need to hear from your perspective about abiding.
Well, I know when I first became a Christian, you know, my heart was on fire for God, and, you know, what began in the spirit, I began to complete it in the flesh. You know, I thought, well, I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to do that. And all the I want to do's went away. And so, like you were talking before about the hear do's and the hear hears and the do do's, I became a do do and not, you know, I heard the word, but I thought I had to do it all by myself. I had to come up with these works. You know, I have to do this and I have to look good and I have to be good for God. And Jesus has already been good for us. You know,
thank God, yes.
His blood is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, I just had to stop what I was doing and begin to hear what God was saying, mm-hmm. and just believe and be mm-hmm. the church. Mm-hmm. And, all I can say is just get in his presence. Dwell in the shadow of the Most High God. Oh, it's the most awesome place.
Yeah.
Get in the word, abide with him. Go to iabide.org and really understand what it means to abide. I thought I knew. I heard the scripture for years, you know, to abide. You know, that's the dwelling place. And I didn't really know until we really began to study about it. And Brother Greg has some awesome teachings on abiding. Mm-hmm. And I encourage everybody to go to VFN TV mm-hmm. and hear what he has to say about it, because God really opened his understanding about it. Mm-hmm. And God, he just taught us to get in his presence and hear what he had to say and just be who he called us to be, mm-hmm. and not try to make it something it's not.
Right.
You know, look at the word, see what the word really has to say, hear what the Lord is telling you to do with that word.
Right.
And just be obedient.
Right.
You know, be obedient, stay in his presence.
Right. You know, and busyness, you know, busyness is what a lot of us can be so busy that we just don't have time to just pause, you know. And we sometimes we say the doing thing you're talking about, that we don't, it says we justify not abiding by because we're so busy doing good.
Yes.
Right.
And that can burn you out. I mean, it will burn you out in a heartbeat. You think, I'm done. I'm not doing anymore. I'm not doing this stuff no more. You can't make me. But but then you realize, I was not in the spirit. I was not worshiping him in spirit and truth. I wasn't acknowledging him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, we can be called and we can have an anointing on our life.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not acknowledging the Lord who gave you that call and that anointing.
Right.
You know, how prideful is that? How arrogant.
That's what the Pharisees did.
Yeah.
The Pharisees left God.
Don't you know who I am? I'm a Pharisaical.
Yeah,
whatever.
Right.
You know, hermeneutical. Right. I don't know.
Don't you see my flowing robe?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, my crown.
Yeah.
And look how clean I am, and they're not, you know. You're and right. So, you know, in all of this, God has taught me that people are all created by our Lord and Savior, and he loves them all. He loves everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And who am I to judge what he has created? Mm-hmm. I am called to love people, to teach them the word of God. Those who really want to know the Lord, to disciple them, you know, to love them into the kingdom of God and live a life that shows people that this is what God is all about. Mm-hmm. It's about shining in the midst of the darkness, you know, not joining in with the darkness, but, you know, being Christ in the midst of the darkness, you know, allowing him to shine through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people try to look good,
right?
Try to do right.
Well, that's exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm Cindy DeWright. No. Oh, yes. That was very exhausting. Trust me, I've been there. Yeah. I was Miss Religious. No.
Well, so I want to talk. I mean, it's so important. I know that I'm catching you off guard here probably. But, you know, if anybody, you know, tried to do right, I mean, you were a secretary.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you were in a particular traditional church expression, and you were close to the crew there. I mean, you were the secretary of the church.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, but it wasn't until after all of this, all these works. I mean, you don't know that you don't know God till you meet God.
Absolutely.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you know, if you don't know him and you're saying you know him, I mean, you're constantly asking people, am I saved?
Yeah, right. And every time you hear the salvation message, you say it again. Oh, Lord, I'm right. coming to you. Yeah. Lord, I'm coming back.
The default thing, right?
Yeah.
Just in case. I don't
know. Yeah, right.
And it's like, but you don't know God until you meet him. And then after you meet him, it's important that you don't try to integrate whatever that was, your do.
Right.
You don't want to integrate your do.
Right. Absolutely. And I did. Yeah. Into my who.
Right. So talk about that. I mean, there's secretaries listening to us right now.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this is what they said. If I could just be the secretary of that minister, then my life will finally be right. I will never forget, this particular person, you know, that we can't say probably, maybe they're listening alone. But they, you know, they thought, you know, if I just become a secretary of this particular church, you know, and then I'll do better. And it's like, I mean, it was crazy all the things that happened in the context of that. And of course, you know, it makes you actually, if you get that close without actually, you know, having an intimate relationship with God, I mean, you're going to freak out because you thought that these people are going to be walking on water.
Yeah, I think that was me.
You know, it's like the ministers are going to come out of their office and go, hallelujah, hallelujah. Instead, they go, give me some coffee now, I'm about to die.
Like, are you talking to me?
Right. And so, I mean, so talk to the secretary out there. I mean, she's tried, and now she's become critical. He or she's become critical because their hope was men, not God.
Absolutely.
And they try to get close to organization instead of an organism.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're judging the very thing that they went to for help when all along they should have went to God.
Right.
But they don't know this yet. So talk to that person right now. Help them get a perspective.
Well, it's like Brother Greg was saying, you know, we have a tendency to think, you know, if I get in this atmosphere, then I'll be closer to God. Or if I work closely with these people, then even I'll be somebody, you know, or that I will be, you know, like these other people. But it doesn't have anything to do with that place. It doesn't have anything to do with those people. what you're wanting, your heart's desire, because God designed us to want him. And your heart's desire is to be in his presence. And a lot of times we don't get it, or we've not been taught that, because tradition will say, if you go to church, if you read your Bible, you know, and yeah, you do need to read your Bible, but it's like
go to church. Go to church.
Yeah.
Go to church.
And we are the church.
I know. I was like, how can I go to what I am? It's confusing. I'm reading the word.
Yes.
And then I'm seeing these contradictions of tradition, and help me understand this. And finally, people just go, forget it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then so all these people that you see behind the scenes, that when they're in the church, it's, you know, God's moving because he's gracious. That's all I got to say.
He's good.
He is good to us.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, they're, you know, they can be backbiting people, jealousy, strife.
Oh, no, it just couldn't be. Not
the worst of worst.
No.
And I was the chiefest of sinners sitting in the middle of the office of all these great people, you know. And I was, you know, I was just, you know, I was so lost, and I didn't even know I was lost myself.
Right.
And, you know, I got just pulled into the world. And it's so easy to put people up on a pedestal because of the anointing on their life, and it's not them.
Right.
And we don't even, I mean, yes, honor the people that that are in the world, you know, honor especially your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But the person you need to be desiring to be in the presence of is Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, he is the one who's going to sustain you in any situation. He is the one who gave you life. And because of his blood, we can walk with our head held high and go in before our Father God boldly, you know, loving him, you know, with the blood of Jesus on us. He's going to see Jesus, not us, you know. But all I got to say is it's so easy to get caught up in the religious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants relationship.
Right.
He wants your heart. You know, he didn't want to just have you doing stuff and being in that atmosphere of organizing this or getting all these things together. He wants you.
Mm.
And a lot of times in the offices, you get behind the scenes and you can get familiar with the things of God.
Right.
And that's deadly.
The fatal price of familiarity.
Yes.
It's those who become familiar who die.
Yes.
Not those that they become familiar with.
Right. And I saw several people in leadership that had a wonderful anointing on their life get offended and leave and cause division and just grown people acting very childish. And I'm like, wow. And they walk among us. You know, so, you know, I encourage you, if you're in an office situation right now and you're just doing your secretary job and you're thinking, I've made it. No, you haven't.
No doubt.
I don't care what ministry you're involved in. You have to be in the presence of God. You have to be abiding. You have to be loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Because you, if you are a Christian, you are the church, and you have to be the church.
Right. Well, you think about it, you know, that if you are in you know, close to, everybody's a minister. And if your ministry happens to be a ministration and you're there as a role, which quite often a lot of people see you more than they see the others, that because you're the one kind of administrating all this stuff, and that if you will abide with God, if you will, you know, be with God, God can minister through you, you know, in a powerful way to all of that.
Oh, yeah, you know? Absolutely. And a lot of times as a secretary, you're the first person that people will see.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an opportunity to love on these people and not judge them.
Right.
You have an opportunity to set them up for success and victory in Jesus, you know, to set the atmosphere of, okay, let me love on you for a few minutes before you go in so that you can hear what whoever's going to minister to you has to say. So you have a very vital position. Mm-hmm. You can also set the tone in that office of love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You know, not in what I can do myself, but what I can do to allow the presence of the Lord to come into the office so it can be what he called it to be.
Right. That's so important, you know. And I remember a study that when I was at the University of West Florida and I was taking, you know, business administration and management, there was a study done on an insurance company. And the insurance company was 11-story huge complex. And he had all these presidents, well, president and all these vice presidents with power. And And they couldn't understand why they put out these memorandums. They put out all these directives for the direction they wanted the company to go. But it never would go the way of that they wanted. They could figure out, like, we're the leaders. How come it's not going the way it's supposed to go, right? And so they did a study. And when they did a study, they found out there was one person in that large complex of all those employees. And she was the one that administered the pay. And every agent, after they did their sales, they had to go through her to be able to get their paycheck. So she was determining it, the whole company went her way. The whole company went this one lady's way because she got what she wanted because the agents were there to get paid, and they knew that you had to make her happy to get paid. And they realized that the whole company was being ran by this one woman.
Wow. And it does happen. I've seen it happen. Yeah. And we had a situation where there was one woman who, and she was the secretary of the pastor, and she was so controlling. And she didn't even give everybody in the office that was supposed to have a key, a key to the building, so that everybody that had a key wouldn't have to be the ones coming up there all the time. You know, they could take turns doing what needed to be done.
Right.
And it just, you know, it was harsh. It was harsh atmosphere to live to live in, I guess, to work in. But you know, finally, you know, the pastor realized what was going on, and he took charge of that, and you know, went bypassed that whole situation, you know, and took care of it. But it was still, you know, it makes for disunity in an organization when one person tries to control everything, and that's like the Jezebelic principality.
That's exactly That's exactly what it is. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And, you know, coming soon on VFN TV is Zero Tolerance. Yeah, it has zero tolerance. And it's going to be eye-opening to you to find out, you know, how many religious folk, you know, are being, you know, captive by this thing. And that, and he says that, you know, they say, as Jesus is speaking, the angels speak in Revelation chapter 2, he says, those who follow her teachings, you know, and this, the teachings that set aside the commands of God.
Yeah.
They set aside, you know, men's traditions. And she leads people, God's people astray. You know, and America thinks, you know, just because it looks pretty, just because it's got good music, it has to be God. It's weird how that works. It's amazing, the herd mentality. But like, what's going on over there? They just kind of, you know, you know, if there's a crowd, it must be right, you know. And so, you know, I just want to encourage those that are listening, if you're in the administrative field, you know, abide with God, you know, abide with the Lord, you know, spend time with him and realize your ministry can be very, very effective for the light, the kingdom of light, or if you don't pay attention, it can be very effective for the kingdom of darkness. We'll be right back in just a minute.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or through the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone. That's VFNTV.com.